Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to PHCC National. I tell you, I am very blessed today to have two incredible gentlemen from the great state of Washington with me today. I'm Joel Long. I'm your host. And today we've got Jason Pritchard, who is the PHCC National Zone 3A Director out of Washington. And we've got Dennis Hammond, the president of PHCC of Washington, with us today. And we are really blessed, guys. These two guys are rock stars on the West Coast. And I'm really excited. And we're just going to jump into it. I really am excited. I've gotten to know Jason over the last couple of years and spent a lot of time with him. Jason and I, Dennis and I just met the other day with a couple phone calls back and forth. And, you know, like most of these things, I like to get you guys started. Just tell us about yourselves. And how in the world, give us some background on how in the world you ended up in PHCC and PHCC of Washington. Jason, you want to start? Or?
Sure, happy to. Well, you know, my background is like a lot of our background. I came out of high school. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with myself. My counselors, they thought they knew what I should do. And like any teenage young man, I didn't listen to any of them. I wanted to go ahead and go to college. And when I say I tried to go to college, that means I signed up for community college. And I'd show up every day in my pickup truck that was geared up for camping. And I might attend a class or two, but then I'd find myself in the back of that truck, wrapped up in my sleeping bag, trying to catch up on my sleep. So I was not a stellar student, didn't enjoy school too much. And from there, moved out of the folks' house and bounced around for a long time, trying to figure out still what I wanted to do with myself. And at one point, I found myself selling furniture. And
No kidding. A furniture salesman. Oh my God.
I think I hold the record for worst furniture salesman that ever has walked the face of the earth.
Did you get a plaque? Did you get a bad furniture salesman plaque? No.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's right there. Worst furniture salesman ever. But so I knew I needed to do something different. And a friend of mine was working for a civil contractor and said, "Hey, we're hiring like crazy. We need people to come in and fill some jobs." And so I was fortunate enough to get on with this company, SCI Infrastructure, about 2005. And from there, I learned what the trades could really be about. I was given an incredible education from the owners of the company. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about anything. And,
yeah.
These guys took me under their wing, gave me a great education. And from there, I was able to parlay that into some other great things. There was a time when, you know, they ran out of work up there. The recession hit. The economy went bad. And so they had to let me go after they put all these years of training into me. But because of what they'd done, what I'd learned, I quickly landed on my feet and found a job with a PHC type of contractor.
Yeah.
And from there, I learned a whole lot about what was really going on in the industry. And I was introduced to the PHCC by a gentleman, maybe a lot of you know him, Larry Fisher. He's kind of a legend out here in these parts. And at the time, the contractor I was working for, our customers were plumbing contractors. So this seemed like, oh, well, great opportunity to get in front of our customers and you know, sell our services. Well, through there, once I got started in the association, that's when my knowledge and my abilities within my business really took off. That's when I really started to learn some stuff from the great folks like Larry Fisher and some of the other guys that were in there. And so from there, it was, boy, I just want to be involved and I just want to help and I just want to see what we can do from there. And we've done a lot of great things here in the state of Washington. So it's been a real privilege to get to know these folks and just be a sponge every chance we get to the knowledge they have to share.
You're right, Jason. That's the story I've heard over and over. And I'm amazed at the journeys. Most people are not where they started. You know, they not many people said, okay, I'm going to be a plumbing guy or an air conditioning guy, but it's interesting how they lead and love it. So that's good stuff. All right, Dennis.
Awesome. Thanks, Joel. I left high school. I knew I wanted to be a business. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'd done several little things in the past. I bumped around too. I was in sales. I tried to sell life insurance to business people when I was younger. I did have 3 years construction. I was the only apprentice on with another guy, and we built 3 new homes from the ground up, and then we remodeled 3 homes So I had that in my background, but I was really mostly focused on sales. I'd helped my brother start a CPA firm from the ground up. Two phones, two whiteboards, two telephone books, and we cold called setting appointments for Friday for him.
Oh, no kidding.
And Monday, Tuesday until Wednesday, he was booked me the rest of the week. And then we'd start over the next week and got him up and going. I didn't know what to do after that. My roommate's dad was a mortician. He said, I think you should be a mortician. And I'm like, no, thank you. I want to be in business. Oops. And so he kept hounding me. And so I really had nothing going on. So I just said yes, because yes has got me where I'm at today. I just say yes.
Boy, that's I love that word. Yep.
I just say yes. And I just went in and turned out the crew of guys were great guys. They had really high standards professionally. They dressed really sharp. They took themselves seriously, but then they also knew how to have fun and take a break and not take themselves too seriously at all. And I really liked that. And so I really thrived and became a licensed funeral director in Palmer.
Did you really?
A real life mortician. So, but I've always wanted to be in business. So I'm like, I really went to the ranks there and started bumping my head into management positions. And I couldn't figure out how to start it. How do you start a funeral home? You know what I mean? Like, you don't start cold calling, right? You don't go door to door. I really am like.
Well, you never run out of customers. You never run out of customers.
Right.
I've got a good friend that is a mortician, and he tells all kind of jokes. He's in my rotary, and it's amazing the jokes he comes up with about, you know. But anyway, it's terrible. But
a statewide embalming lab continuing education course is the richest humor in the world.
I bet it is.
Yeah. A bunch of embalmers in a lab. Yeah. Anyway, enough said about that.
We digress. We're going to do that. I can tell.
I think that's fascinating.
But I think that, but listen, that journey though is important, because I bet it led you to that professionalism you talked about. I mean, I look at you and a little bit of what I know and what we've already talked about, you know, before this, didn't that lead you to where you are today? I mean,
100%. Yeah. I take it. The industries are very similar in many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my father-in-law is Gene Johnson, had some heart attacks, and we went hunting one day. It was right after 9/11, 2001. He had some heart issues. His oldest daughter, my sister-in-law, was working in the company, and they were probably $1.5 million and struggling there, and he was having heart issues. So he asked me to come over and become a plumber and then work my way into the business. And so I said yes.
Yeah, is that yes word?
Turned my 2 weeks in, and 2 weeks later I was at Gene Johnson Plumbing.
Oh man, what a great story.
Crazy. It was crazy.
It is crazy. And then 3 weeks later, you knew exactly what to do. That's how we are.
Well, 3 months later, you had another heart attack. The family kind of said, this business is going to kill you. And Dennis is here and we'll figure it out. And so I took the sales side, managing the guys. And I went out on the estimates. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what am I doing here? But the thing I did was I took digital cameras to just come out. So I was taking digital pictures of every fixture.
Sure.
Like the kitchen here and then below, underneath. And because I didn't even know what I was looking at. Yeah. But the customers loved it because I was the most thorough person they'd had out to the house.
Yeah, so that's right. Because you were terrified. You were probably terrified. And so you went the extra mile and they looked at you as, that's a story though of a lot of good sales guys is they're not afraid to fail, but also you're going to go that extra mile. And sometimes you don't even know it. We've got some of those guys, some of our best guys at our company have been that when they get started, they don't know 100%. And so they're not afraid to ask questions and they just keep going and doing that. That's a great story. So, I love getting started that way. Cause you learn so much about people. So, a mortician. And what did you start off with? What did you say, Jason?
Furniture sales.
Furniture sales and mortician. They go together. So anyway. So one of the things that's really struck me, and I know we wanted to have Greta on here, but I understand she's in getting sun somewhere, and so we're going to pick on her forever about that she went on vacation instead of talking to us, you know, the three of us, but I can understand that. But give me just a little bit, if you can, Jason, about some of the, you know, maybe where Washington stands as PHCC. We really want to talk about that just a little bit, if we could.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I mentioned Larry Fisher early on. And we've got some just iconic guys out here. They've got this chapter going for us, from Larry Fisher to Charlie Mitchell to former national president Jim Stack.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys really did a great job paving the way, and they shaped the industry for us, you know, in a way that was sustainable for a long period of time. And the thing that's interesting about our chapter recently is we've kind of had to reinvent ourselves a little bit. The things that were taking place and things that were going on, you know, it's time to change a little bit. So that's where myself and Dennis and some other folks came along and said, and we took the lessons from the people before us and said, okay, what can we do? How can we affect some change to reinvent this a little bit and make it more appealing and more effective to the newer generation?
Yeah.
So we've spent an awful lot of time doing that. I'd say an awful lot of time. It's been a great time. We've had a great time doing this stuff. But you know, just trying to you know, kind of not reinvent the wheel, but kind of figure out how to make things go a little bit different. Currently, state of Washington, we've got 40 contractor members. We've got 12 to 15 associate and affiliate members. You know, we're tied in with our locals. We've got great relationships, and pull it back. That might be the, you know, one of the banner things we've done here is our relationships between our union affiliated shops and our open shops. And that's really what makes it go. The question is, what makes Washington State go? And that's it, our ability to get the stakeholders involved, create a plan, and get things moving forward the way they need to. And that comes from all the way back with the guys that got this thing started at the very beginning.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Jim Stack. When I got started, you know, he is an icon with National. And he's one of those guys that doesn't say a lot. You know, there's that group of guys that'll keep, they'll be quiet. The one mouth, two ears. And then when he talks, you better listen. You know, he's I don't know how he is in Washington, but that's definitely, from my viewpoint at National, that's how he is. So did you hear anything, Dennis, that Jason was lying about, or was that fairly accurate?
No, he missed one thing, and that is we're just getting started.
Oh, okay.
Right? Hmm. It feels like we're just really, I think the sky's the limit.
You know, I've heard that a lot. You know, it's interesting coming out of the pandemic too. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, every state association we're talking to really struggled with the meeting. And I think a lot of us have taken it as a restart. You know, we got Zoom now. We got all these other things. Think about what we're doing with this. We couldn't, you know, before the pandemic, we were not doing things where we could talk to people all across the country like this. So it's good opportunity. So you just think there's a new energy in Washington. Is that what I'm?
Yeah, I think so. And then new awareness, especially for me, about the really unique thing about PHCC is that we've got political representation. So many times things happen, you hear it on the news, or you get a report on an email that the law's changed, and you don't even know why it happened or how it happened. It doesn't even make sense. And now we've got three lobbyists on our side that we work with. Jason was heavily involved in that, and we actually changed the plumbing law.
Yeah.
We meet with senators and Congress people and actually have an effect on it, and actually know what's coming, and we can influence it or say, no, we don't want that, and here's why. And so that's been a real eye-opener for me, is no organization offers that.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of times we've kind of gotten ourselves in this mindset that we think it's all just about money. But it's really about knowledge and information, and they get pulled in so many directions. I think a lot of times the truth ends up winning out if we can continue to do those things and talk about that, you know, and give them feedback, because they're not sure about their feedback, and they're getting feedback from everybody. And so I think the more we can personally get connected to them, the better. So yeah, that's a great point. And nationally, that's a massive focus, state by state and international. So that's good to hear you guys connecting those dots. So, you know, we had some other things we were going to talk about here, but I think with Greta here and some of the time we're into, I really, Dennis, want to jump into, you know, I like really talking about best practices. And I think some of your story that I've heard and seen you talk about already, and then, you know, maybe some of the things you're doing as president too. I know this. You do this little thing. You're driving around and talking some, I've heard. So can you talk about what you're doing with that? Because I think that's something that leaders across the country may want to copy. And then I want to talk about your business and what you're doing from an education standpoint. But go ahead with that if you could.
Sure. Yeah. About 3 years ago, I kept hearing about social media. Social media is the way to go. And how do you do that? And, you know, we all hear that. You know, we make a little video, we feel awkward and we stammer around and we have to start it three times. Right.
Trust me.
So I what can I do? What can I do regular? And so we were outgrowing our building. So there was no, I would start to try to have videos, and I had another guy, Woody, helped me a lot. And we would try to make these videos and we kept getting interrupted and people would walk in the room and there was just no place. And so finally, the only place I had quietness was in my truck. And so then I was like, what can I do? And so on the way to work, my drive is about 7 minutes to work. And so I said, you know what? And then I got technology all around me, but I'm really bad with technology. It doesn't work. So I'm like, well, I've got my smartphone and I can make a 1 minute video about apprenticeships. I'm really passionate about apprenticeships because in my trade, mortuary work, I did some really cool things as an apprentice that really accelerated my career and got myself noticed. I got a full ride scholarship to school and all this stuff. And it's like, but we, in the trades, we just kind of bump along. Like our apprentices are kind of, we don't even call them apprentices. They're just laborers or helpers. And it's like, no, they're here to, if we invest in them, they'll be your helpmate someday. They'll be a plumber. Right,
they're the future. They're the future. Yeah.
Future. Yeah. So I have a lot of passion about that. And so I just decided I wanted to be authentic. And what am I passionate about? What will I not run out of and stop doing? And that was it. So I do a 1 minute video on the way to work. I clip my phone in on my way to work. And I make a 1 minute video about a tip about what to start doing or what not to do or what to do better as an apprentice. It's inspired by real life events that are happening inside my business.
Sure. Yeah.
There's something every day.
There's definitely something every day. Yeah. So
I never watch it.
During the day before, are you writing down something that's happening so you know what to talk about? Is that how you do it? Because I hear a lot of people will say they're going to do things like that, but then they get stuck. You know, is that what happens or how do you do it?
No, I'm a morning person. And so okay. I get my car, I turn my truck on, I put my phone in. I'm like, okay, what's my topic going to be? And right away, there's something that was good or bad that happened, or I was impressed with a kid, or I was frustrated with a kid. And then I try to turn that into a positive little lesson. I got 2 or 3 minutes, and then I hit play. I make a video. I never do it over.
Yeah, you do. It is what it is.
And I send it. I don't edit it. I just send it. I never listen to it. And then I put tags under it, and that's it.
So really simple has been the lesson, right? And yeah. 1 minute, 1 minute is a great length. To get it, and who do you send it to?
I tag it to apprentices. It's just on Instagram. So it's okay. Apprentices, plumbers, okay. Apprentice, blue collar, construction life, that kind of thing. My first link was John Thompson, the OG plum god on Instagram, who is big. He's got a huge following. And it was the first link. I go, wow, someone liked my video. And I looked at him, he's got there's like 30,000 or some huge number of followers. Like, holy cow, there's a big wig and a plum god. What's that about? Mm-hmm. You know? So I looked into him and he said, hey, I love what you're doing. And so that was really cool. My very first day. So I just started doing that regularly for about a year. And then I went to the AHR show 2 years ago and it was the bizarrest thing to be in Florida on the other side of the world from Seattle.
Sure.
And walking in amongst 60,000 people and have some strangers say, Dennis the Apprentice. Yeah. And I turn around, some big bearded guy gives me a hug. I watch you every day.
No kidding. Oh, how many followers do you have? Do you know?
Well, then I had about 600, not very many, but they're authentic. It's not, I'm not like.
Yeah. Well, numbers, I kind of believe in that too. I'm not sure numbers necessarily matter on social media. It's about what you're, who and why and what. Yeah. So the AHR, you mentioned that. I went to that in Las Vegas this year. Oh, yeah. And I had been once before, but, you know, even coming out of the pandemic, it was stunning the people and the information there. See, I'd encourage anybody that if you get a chance to go to that show, and ASHRAE, you know, they were there also. And those are really good shows for plumbing guys and air conditioning guys, but.
I didn't go for years.
Yeah.
My Jason's always gone to the wet show probably, right? I didn't go to that for years, the drain and sewer show. Yeah. I never went there. I had people invite me and I didn't have time for that stuff. And now I don't want to miss. Yeah. There's so much there.
Well, you get out of stuff what you put into it. And I've been to that, but it's been years, the same thing. And I just, as many things as I've been to the last 3 or 4 years through PACC, it's still stunning, some of the depth of what you see there. So that was good stuff. Jason, you got anything to add to that on?
No, I just think it's one of the awesome things about the association and just being in the trades is running into guys like Dennis, or meeting guys like Dennis and getting to pick his brain and his unique perspective, and it's all over everywhere you go. You sit down in Nashville, you have a cup of coffee, and next thing you know, you're best friends with a guy from across the country.
Totally. And
there's just so much value in that.
Yeah.
Value in a different perspective. And it's exciting to see the way Dennis approaches it. And it's a way that's positive. It's a way that's appealing to young people. I watch it every day myself. I'm learning every day from Dennis. I'm going, man, this is a guy who's a mortician, but he's teaching me about how to run my PHC business better. So it's awesome.
Well, and I think that's what I'm seeing across the country. And it's a lot of times it's those little things that people are doing that somebody else is not doing. So that's a great thing. And anybody can copy that, even if it's in your business. Now think about, my brother and I do some things, but they're bigger than, they're longer than that. I shouldn't say they're longer than that, but man, we could do a 1 minute thing and push it out once a week or twice a week to all of our people to be great. So that's a great, I think that's a wonderful snapshot of something that anybody could do and just get used to it, especially with these phones. My goodness, we can do just about anything like that's easy. So I appreciate that. And then, okay, I got to shift to just what you're doing on education, because I think you have you've tackled something that I believe a lot of air conditioning and plumbing contractors, I think they're going to be jealous. Okay. If I can get the pictures to work, they're going to be jealous. But talk about what you decided to do with your, and I think you call it an education lab, or you call it, just talk about that a minute if you could. And hopefully we're going to, I'll tell you what, while you're talking, I'm going to try to, try to bring up some pictures. Okay.
Well, the pictures that you're going to see happen since the pandemic started, and it's our second version, but almost all of our shops have a catch-all area in the back of the shop. It's just like a junkyard, right? But most mom and pop shops have those. And so we had one of those at our first shop, and it was the length of our building. So for about 40 feet long and about 12, 14 feet deep. And it was just full of stuff and parts and fittings and toilets that we'd actually didn't install and water heaters that we thought were cool and we should show somebody someday. And so one day I just saw the vision of about 6 years ago, we decided to, my partner, Kimberly, and I, my sister-in-law, we literally decided to not put any energy into saying that you can't find people.
Oh, okay.
Not enough plumbers. We literally quit saying it. We don't say it. We're going to build our own people. And so I gutted that area out and we put in, so on Thursday nights we had training. We started a hands-on training. And every Thursday night, I'd buy pizza and pop, and we would start building our training room. And it ended up with 3 furnaces, 2 tankless, 3 toilets, a bathtub, and then a rough-in wall. And that was it. And we started inviting anybody to come to our training on Thursday night. But we built it training, and it was a huge hit. And other one-man shops would show up, and then suppliers kind of got interested, and they would show up and
can you guys see my screen now?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
So
now this is the second. We knew it worked. I actually had plumbers that I'd interview them and they'd see it and go, oh, this is where I want to work.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this thing, people are actually coming here to work here because of the train lab, even though they're a licensed plumber. Because I think all of us, once anybody in a trade wants to leave a legacy and teach someone else that. And so we've attracted people that want to teach as well. And so this is our second version. So this is 2,500 square feet. I think there's 13 tanklesses on the wall there. And this is just the other side is more focused on the plumbing side. This is the hydronic side. We've just kind of also.
This is in your basement of your building, right?
This is in the basement of our new hub location.
And so what I got excited, when you and I talked the other day, you said, yeah, I'll send you some pictures. And I said, yeah, okay. I mean, I've got a place where we train. And then I got these pictures the other day, and this is what people are going to be just see the quality. and the depth of what you've done with all of these different is really showing people what's possible. Okay. And so I think a lot of us get started on something like this. And Jason, I don't know you know what you've seen, but I think they don't take it to this level where, oh my God. So, you know, this is why when I saw these the other day, I went, oh, these guys are going to be so stinking jealous. And so, but this is what we need to be doing as contractors. You took responsibility. You said, I'm sick of this. And now you're actually using it. I think I'm going to bet one of the biggest things you just mentioned is the recruiting. Man, if you got some kid coming here and then he goes across the street to your competitors, you got to be killing them. I mean,
100%. And the way this started, Joel, is we are Navient certified. And so we put the Navients up on the wall. We let the suppliers know what we're doing. They all kind of said, yeah, whatever. And then when they came down and saw this, they're like, oh, we need our brand on the wall. And so what happened is that grew from 5 to, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, there's 8 tanklesses there that we didn't plan on.
Yeah.
That wasn't the original plan, but every brand said, oh, no, we got to be
on the wall, yeah.
And so it just kept growing. But all that is live fire. All those can fire.
Okay.
So you can work on it for real and all the different brands. And plumbers love that. Who wants to go on a call and not, you know, with a brand they're not comfortable
sure.
with?
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure, sure. So, and then if you change – something changes, you just get a different one and flip them out. If you change brands or you change, yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah. So I was going to go to the next one. What is this? I saw this and I didn't know what this was.
So this is on the other side of the hallway. And this is, I'm calling this the incubator. But apprentices, I have this thing, apprentices don't lack capacity. They lack teachers. And so there's a lot going on here, actually. It's a smaller room. That's kind of how the building came. We got a big screen up there. And what we've started to do is show a YouTube video on one subject. So this was on combustion analyzers.
Oh yeah.
So they watch what they do is they start the morning there. They get the coffee, they watch one video, which we showed them 10 or 15 minutes long, and then they get to work.
Yeah.
But I have this philosophy that you just this drip, you know, constant 10 or 15 minutes a day over a 2-year period of time is a ton of information. And if we weren't doing this, they'd just be up wandering around waiting for someone to tell them what to do. So I'm teaching them to start your day, get your mind right, drink a cup of coffee, watch this 10 or 15 minute video, and then we hit it. So I'm calling this my incubator. It's for apprentices. And the guy standing there is Chad. Chad is one of he runs our bike racing team. It's his bike racing team that we sponsor. But he also does social media. And so he was here last night.
So you mean you're actually doing things with your guys that they enjoy and are fun?
Oh yeah, they take
That doesn't make any sense. That won't work in North Carolina. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
So Chad writes every time not the last plumber I hired, but the second to last plumber I hired. When Chad walked in, he's like, "Are you guy that makes the videos?" And Chad's like, "Yeah, I make the videos." He's like, "I've been watching your videos for 4 months."
Oh, that's great.
I know all about your company. I know all the guys.
I don't like you, Dennis. I can tell already, man. All right. So what?
Kind of my passion.
Jason, don't bring. Why did you bring this guy on this? This is going. I'm going to be.
Sorry, Joel.
I know, man. This guy doesn't have any answers. My God, he's got all. He's just got problems, man. So, look at. So, and I saw this ductwork here, and so this is just the other side of the lab, and this is the same. But
yeah.
So you got a furnace. That's okay. Condensing furnace and okay.
Yeah, with air conditioning and an air filter.
Yeah. So just a tip.
And then, this was last night.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So last night in the back right corner, there's an electrician. Then there's 2 supply house people. I think that's it. But we'll often have. Oh, and right behind, out of the picture, is another company's there.
Oh.
So we're open, and other companies will come and drop in on the classes.
Yeah. So you operate under the and I do too. I operate under there's enough work for everybody, and the more we help each other win. And that's a big thing in PHCC across the country that, you know, guys, we need to help each other win and not think that we're all competitors, but we're not enemies, man. We need to help each other win at a higher level. So yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Jason, I do not have one of these labs. I have a lab, but it's not this type of lab.
I don't have one either, Joel.
And so, yeah, I will not be coming to Washington to open a plumbing business. That's for sure.
Not if you
got to
compete with this guy.
Yeah, no kidding. So Dennis, man, so what do you think, you know, if you had to sum up this conversation in a few words, what has this done to you and for you you know, just overall compared to where you were when you got started? What do you, because this to me looks like just an amazing outcome.
Yeah. It's giving us hope. Like you sit around a conversation with plumbers that aren't thinking this way, or any contractor, heating, cooling, electrical, they're like, you can't find good people. There's not enough people out there. And this is exciting to be the host of the party.
Yeah.
And put this to share it with everybody. And there's hope. There's apprentices in there. There's two guys in the front row are new apprentices. And they're there. They started at 6. We provided the sandwiches and they were there till 8:30 last night. And they come to every training and it's encouraging for the other guys. Some of those guys are licensed plumbers in there. And they're coming to learn about the new combustion analyzer and all its bells and whistles. But what's interesting is how many plumbers come to just fine tune their skills or learn something they didn't know. And so it's a mix. It's not just apprentices in there.
Sure. Sure.
And so it's really brought hope and excitement. And I think really we couldn't do this if we weren't profitable.
Yeah.
So the other side of this is getting your business running right so that you're profitable. And on the other side of profit is fun. And when we get our prices right and we run our businesses right and they're profitable, then you can afford to do this kind of thing. I would have done this 20 years ago if I figured out how to run my business. So it's two-sided.
That is a great point. You can't.
It's the result of being profitable over a enough period of time.
Yeah, but you also, I think, Jason, don't you think he took control of a problem?
Exactly. And what I heard Dennis say a minute ago was everybody's complaining there's not enough good people out there. There's lots of them. They're just working somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you need somebody, you're going to need to figure out a way to make your own good person, you know, and I think that's how all of us, it's where all of us came from. I mean, I wasn't good at my job until somebody showed me what to do. And so Dennis has just kind of taken that philosophy, put a classroom and science lab to it and put it on steroids and said, okay, let's take ourselves seriously here. Let's do it.
And the other thing, Joel, is it's like, so I am one of the owners of the company, so I get a lot of credit, but this has been a team effort. There's been people who have put their heart and soul into it. And then everybody that works here is proud of this and considers it their own, right?
So. You know, and you know, every company that gets built like yours and ours or whatever is always all the people combine in a positive way or some of them in a negative and you got to move on from those people. But as long as you can get enough people rowing that boat positively together, it can make a massive difference. But see, I think you as the leader, you gave these guys a direction and a hope. And I'm going to bet we see a lot of struggles where young people they can't find a direction. And to me, what I saw in that lab is you're giving them a clear direction and path and they can physically see it all. And I think sometimes we all fail at that. So I love that whole thought process and what you're seeing there. And to me, it looks like that may be your secret weapon for your success. And secret may be the wrong word, but you know, if somebody just sees your van, they don't know that part, but then I think that's your skill that you're driven to be really successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If I, for some reason had to move to another state, another marketplace and start over, the first thing I do is build a lab.
Yeah.
That's really what I do.
I love it. Well, congrats. Jason and I are going to be working extremely hard right now to copy the ever living out of that. And I'm just upset. Jason, you'll probably, how far are you away from him, Jason?
I'm probably an hour.
So you're just going to go to his lab. I know you're just going to copy. You're just going to go. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay.
Don't talk to those guys. Just listen to the guy in the front. Yeah.
I'll pay you 25 cents more an hour. Yeah, I hear you, Jason. That's good, man. So, all right, let's switch gears. Let's switch gears just a little bit. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
What advice, you know, to get started on that, what advice will you give the people that are going to watch this and are going to go, oh my God, I got to do this. You know, what would you say just to, you know,
I wish I had the pictures with me. I don't, but our other building is nothing to be looked at. It's not anything to be looked at. And we were crammed in there. We had a catch-all area that was outside of the original building with a lean-to with a rough. So that was the first lab. And that's all we needed, actually. That changed our culture. It attracted the people that wanted to teach. It attracted the people that wanted to learn.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
To get started, you're saying, so just whatever you got in your situation, do it and do it as far as you can and then keep building on it. Is that?
Even if you don't have any extra space.
Yeah.
Order pizza and pop and then take up. Everybody's got a bathroom.
Yeah.
Have a class in the bathroom you got. You got to put the toilet back before you go home. Right. But have the class right
there.
You plumbers, man.
I got you. But no, that's but the Seriously. Real. The real, yeah, because I think that's a good point. We get a lot of conversations about our younger contractors or maybe newer contractors that they see that lab and they think it's impossible. That's a great point. You got to start with what you start and go and then build on it, but be focused on building on it so that you can start separating yourself and you can start improving yourself every day and your apprentices have a path. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, we're going to switch gears again. I love that conversation. Tell us, I believe leaders read a lot, okay, guys? And I hope, and I know I read probably too much in some ways, but man, tell me, I like to get our guys, if you can, to share maybe some things you're reading, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Well, those are the books that are most influential. I didn't have an office in our other building, so when I got an office, those are the books that are most influential right there. The one we're currently reading is.
Oh, Traction. Oh my gosh. I know all about it. That's a beautiful book. Everybody at my company hates me because of that book, but you're exactly, it makes you sick, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Dennis?
If I could do this 20 years ago, right? Right?
That is the best. I know. Amy's going to quit. So how did you find out about that book? Do you remember?
I've heard of it before, but it was at the super meeting in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
That Gino spoke at.
Maybe.
And Kimberly, my partner, and I were there.
He froze.
And see if we're on the same page. And we were like, this is what we need. And so we've implemented it.
Yeah, we implemented about, 3 years ago? And we lead every meeting with it. That is a great book. If you haven't read Traction, but please do it, because it'll change how you look at meetings and how you try to organize future plans. Is that a fair way to say it? How to get
100%,
there?
100%. Yeah.
100%. Jason,
and then the other book. People don't realize this, but our book, our trade book, is The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay. Yep.
Have you ever read that book?
I have not.
It's about a chariot builder.
Okay.
He's struggling because he's tired, his body hurts, his wife doesn't have the clothes she wants, or the house she wants, and he sees his old classmate walk by who's the richest man in Babylon. He wonders what the difference is. And it's a basic money management book, but it's about a tradesman. He was a chariot builder.
Okay. All right, it's on the list. Perfect. All right, Jason.
It's simple. You can read it one night.
Perfect. Does it have pictures? You got a lot of good pictures?
No pictures. No,
okay, never mind. I'm not reading it. Go ahead, Jason, what you got?
My current read, it's an audio book. I like to read, listen to my books in my commute. But I'm listening to a book right now called Can't Hurt Me, and it's by a gentleman by the name of David Goggins.
Okay.
And it's just basically a story of David's life and his ability to overcome any obstacle that's been put in his way. He was abused as a young man, terrible childhood, terrible upbringing, obese, had no hope, no prospects, no future, no way of getting anywhere, looking like a dead end life. But a few things changed him around. He ended up joining the military. He became a Navy SEAL.
Became
special ops. He's one of the top ultra marathon competitors in the world today. He's routinely on the Today Show and do it. He can do, what did I hear this morning? He can do five pull-ups every 30 seconds for 2 hours. And I'm just going, that's incredible. I can't do five.
Why? I'm just kidding.
I can't do five in a year, let alone.
Yeah, but those stories, those stories are those kind of journeys, but that relates to what we do, doesn't it? I mean,
it's something that inspires me.
Really does. Jason, that's great. Okay, I had one. I'm not touching that. After those two, I'm not even going to bring up mine.
What do you got?
Oh, come on.
The one I'm currently reading, I've got like four books. I read books and depending on what my mood, but The Business Card. I don't know if you've read that book by Dr. Steve. And it's about a guy running a business, but he finds out that through time, he's incredibly successful from a business standpoint, but he thinks that he has lost his way because he's focused on the wrong things. And he's kind of gotten off track on what's important. And he's realized that the business he took over was a really faithful business for people, but he changed it to be all about production. And it's about his journey going back to it being about his people and what's important, and how he changes his family and his business and him and his company and then his community. And so it's about what he puts their mission on their business card, and it changes everything because it talks about how their fate's going to lead them. So it's a really interesting book. And I think that relates a lot to what we try to do and how we try to live and how we fail every day, but we keep trying to get up and do better tomorrow. So I like that kind of thought process. And I need a lot of help on that, I think, a lot of days. But so guys, listen, anything else you want to throw out there today? Jason, anything?
I just think for me, what it's all about, what we've been talking about, it. One of the questions you had on here, Joel, that we touched on, but it was, let me find it here. What's something that we're best at?
Oh, yeah. State
of Washington. Maybe it's just something we're best at, across the country in PHCC, but I think it's been helping contractors, PHC contractors, identify what's really important in their business. And that's building a culture. You take a look at what Dennis has done, that's a culture like nothing else you've ever seen anywhere. That's appealing to people coming to work there, people staying to work there, people enjoying their jobs, people being a cheerleader for Gene Johnson Plumbing and Dennis Hammond, and wanting to see their careers grow and watching that business grow. And, this day and age, if you're not building a culture in your business, you're doing it wrong. It ain't all about chasing the next faucet rebuild, that dollar.
Yeah.
It's about how can I build an organization that's attractive to people and customers and doing the best we can out here. So that's my takeaway from all that.
Jason, that's pretty strong. The guys that are winning, like you two, are building culture. That is the way to say it. And you want to try to top that, Dennis? I'm not going to touch that, man. That is good stuff.
Dennis is way smarter than I am. He's got it.
I will add something though, because I am passionate about the apprenticeship experience. Right? They don't lack capacity; they lack teachers. These trade journals get overlooked.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. But the way I excelled in my trade was I subscribed to mortuary management, embalming today, funeral director. We had our trade journals. Well, yeah. SPACC guys, we've got our trade journals too. This is a great one, right?
You decided to stretch yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, and there's the cleaner, you guys, Jason, you probably have this one down there.
You get that one?
But yep. They're real life articles. And so I tell my apprentices, this is the textbook of the trade. You don't have to buy a $200 English 101 book that's been used three times, right, in college.
Yeah.
These are free. And if you'll
read and then pay attention and ask questions. Yeah.
Just read one article a day. You'll be ahead of the guy you're riding with in his truck because he quit a long time ago.
Every time.
Hey, Dennis, can you send us the link on how to subscribe to Embalming Today?
Furniture.
There's some crazy stuff in there.
If you'll send furniture today, if you'll send your subscription to furniture today, Jason. So guys, listen, I tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And, wisdom, listen guys, I'll tell you, the wisdom today that you've presented to, contractors and friends all across the country, is a credit to you. I hope you know that. It's really, I do think we all are on a mission to try to improve our cultures. And so, Jason, I really appreciate you, tying this together at the end. And I think Dennis and I really owe you a huge debt of gratitude because I think that was a really great way to tie this together with what you guys are accomplishing out there. And Dennis, congrats on everything you're doing. And thank you for sharing and being willing to, get out on the limb and share and just been a really honor today to talk to you guys and then keep giving Greta grief that she didn't join us today.
Absolutely.
And knowing Greta for years now, she I think she's one of the, and we're blessed all across the country, but the, you know, your state is very fortunate to have Greta as a leader. And so let's make sure we keep, you know, helping her win. And so thanks for everything you guys do. And Jason Nationally, thank you so much for jumping in the way you have. I've loved getting to know you and look forward to what's next with you guys. And so Dennis, keep doing it. I'm going to catch up with you on Instagram and look forward to the 1 minute tomorrow and love you guys. And thanks for all you do. And so listen, as the host of this show, episode 9, I think is one of our best, and look forward to seeing you guys through soon. If you have any other podcast ideas, please send them to us, and we look forward to the future podcast with PHCC Rocks, and we'll see you guys out on the road, and we'll see you in the future. Have a great day.